And, of course, this is the hour we're going to take your phone calls with David Cerita. Got a few more things to talk with him about, and then it'll be your turn on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back. David Cerita with us here on Coast to Coast and your phone calls in our final hour with David. David, also, there seems to be some talk of a war going on up there. Do you believe that, too?
War in heaven or war in the ET?
In the ET realm.
Well, I believe, yes. I believe we're in this precipice, this border, where, you see, we're going upwards above into the upper dust plane of the galactic center right now, and we're almost at the point where every 65 million years we dip below galactic plane and then we go back up. It's like a wave spinning and going up and down above and below galactic plane as we're going around the Milky Way galaxy every 250 or so million years. So every time we go above galactic plane center, we're at the point where the dinosaurs went extinct right now. We're right in that epic area. And as we go higher, according to very deep astronomy studies I've read, the cosmic radiation from galactic center gets stronger. And as it gets stronger, it weeds out the weaker life forms that can't handle the higher frequencies. So the lower frequency or more distorted frequency life forms or fragile life forms actually die off. They have actually studied this in the million-year fossil records on Earth. So there's changes coming. Now, whether those changes are sudden or gradual with some sudden spikes in them, nobody really knows. But there's one thing that's certain. We're not alone in the universe. Absolutely we're not. I think the UFO phenomena has proved that. They don't move around using rockets. They use frequencies and vortices to jump in and out of dimensions where it's easier to move, just like a fish has to get out of water if he wants to get on an airplane and go to Hawaii instead of going through the waters much faster. So is there a war going on? Are there signs of war? I think the greatest war going on is the war of using frequencies on human and other living species consciousness. I don't think there's a greater war going on because frequency can end or terminate life forms. It can cause another species to take over. They don't need to use bombs or anything like that.
Huh. All right, let's take some calls here for you, David. Let's go to Dennis in Philadelphia to get things going. Dennis, you're on with David Cerita. Go ahead.
Oh, this is great because it's allowing me to put two and two together here. You know, when the scientists say that, it's a quick comment and a quick question. Scientists say that we only use 3% of our DNA and the rest is what they call junk DNA. Mm-hmm. Would this frequency activate that junk DNA you're talking about? And the comment is, now I know why when I go for an MRI and I'm laying in there and there's all these harsh frequencies being pounded into me, it causes me to doze off, but it also causes me to have some really psychotic dreams and some really weird images when I do fall asleep, which causes me to wake up.
Yeah, no, that's really great what you're saying. You see, I actually had somebody contact me who wanted me to redesign the frequencies in an MRI. And would you, not only would the frequencies benefit the human life form while you're getting an MRI in those intense magnetic fields, but also it could actually switch some of this junk DNA on. I mean, remember, everything invented on the planet, from your computer to your iPhone to the semiconductors running it, it all started in somebody's mind as a vision. So our ability to envision comes from our ability to creative insight. And the pineal gland in the center of the brain is kind of like the light bulb that lights up the projector and the imagery in the mind. One thing we've done with these frequencies from the lost scales, we've looked at people's auras before and after, and they're enormously bright after they've experienced them for a period of an hour. So we know it's switching on their light body. We can see it every time. But why we use so little of our DNA and we use so little of our brain and consciousness is probably determined by the lack of harmonics in our field. And that's governed in large part by music. I mean, if I were to meet an extraterrestrial civilization, one of the first things I'd ask them is, what do you listen to? What is your music? Because music determines, I mean, how many times do you turn on a song and it affects your emotions, right? How many times do you turn on a song that can make you cry and another one can make you want to jump up and down and laugh and just think silly thoughts? I mean, the music is affecting you. It's affecting you so much, which is what the Pythagoreans and the ancient Greeks were talking about. So absolutely, this discovery of this lost scale could change everything over time.
David, how did you, one, fall into this or find it?
Well, I've been meditating every day for my whole life. I'm 53 years old. I started when I was 18, and my goal was to meet God and to get into higher states of consciousness naturally. And, you know, I wasn't very impressed with plants as a teenager. I had a lot of depression in my teen years, and the meditation conquered it. I mean, I can't even describe how much ecstasy and bliss I can experience when I sit down and meditate. It's not just peaceful. It's not just quiet. There is profound ecstasy. And once in a while, you hit the jackpot and you have an out-of-body experience and you go to heaven. And when I heard the music of the angels in heaven, for example, it surpassed the greatest music ever created on earth. I mean, Beethoven's Ninth, which makes my daughter jump up and down and twirl around the living room, is boring compared to what I heard there. So what music scale are they using there? How do they do it? And my experience of the angels' voices, where they weren't just singing for the fun of it, which we would do here, or to set a recital or for people to dance to, they were singing the creation into existence. The spinning of the angelic voices were causing the planets and the stars and the galaxies and the subatomic particles to maintain their spins and their orbits. But yet, it was blissful all at the same time to hear the angels sing. But wouldn't you want to know, like, not only what is the music in heaven like, but in other worlds and other planets and star systems? I mean, that would be, I mean, remember the movie, my favorite movie of all time is Close Encounters of the Third Kind. How did they
That's a classic.
Through tones? And when the little boy is playing his xylophone and everybody's getting these tones, which correspond to a location on Earth, when the ETs come, that there was an exchange of tonal dialect. And frequency, which produces sounds, is the only universal language. Ratio and frequency, regardless of whether you're using feet, inches, metric, Greek feet, or alien feet, your frequencies always remain the same. It is the only universal math and language there is, the ratios and the frequencies. They always end up the same.
If somebody did this every day, meditated, listened to these tones, what would happen to them?
What would happen to them is what's happening to the people doing my toning course, is you start to realize that your spatial awareness starts to increase. Just like if you listen to a beautiful song, your spatial awareness can be shifted. But you're hearing tones in this scale that are not in any music currently today. Our scale is just ever so slightly off from this particular scale. And I'm using nature's secret octave, which I'm not going to reveal, which is how you multiply the 10 base tones to get 120 tones for one scale. And there's three scales, so you get 360 tones. There's 360 degrees in a circle, and all of those are audible to the human ear. So I also have all of the tones now as numbers in an ebook for people who want that. But it can change everything from your computer to signals that we use for sending data, like the caller who just called in getting his MRI. Everything from your MRI to your cell phone to how we transmit data around the planet. If we sent that data harmonically as opposed to discordantly, we could actually elevate people's states of consciousness, and there'd probably be less violence. I mean, how do you explain the sudden eruption of police brutality and violence in America? I mean, how do you explain it? It's just suddenly happening, where every news and website I flick on, there's another cop beating somebody to death. I mean, is it frequencies? Is it a combination of bad diet, or is it an objective? Where do these ideas come from? Well, I believe every physical action, just like beautiful music contained the savage beast, all this disharmonic, over 100,000 Wi-Fi towers, I mean microwave towers in the United States, over 100,000, running all day long, pumping microwaves into your brain, which are heating your DNA and heating your cells. You get those things hot, I think that would explain why there's a lot of anger and hot-headedness in the culture, because we're just being bombarded everywhere we turn.
Next up, Lisa's with us in Portland, Oregon. Hi, Lisa. Thanks for calling. Lisa?
Hi.
Go ahead. You're up.
Oh, hi, David.
Hello.
Hi. Yes, I'm from Portland, Oregon, and I see ships all the time outside of my house. They've shown themselves to me. I've seen them three lined up just like Orion's belt and just dance all over the place. I just want to know. I just want to know how to activate all my chakras and raise my vibrations and frequencies, because I have a lot of giftings and intuitive giftings. I foresaw Fukushima. I was dreaming about it in my sleep. My son heard me talking in my sleep, saying, "We gotta leave. We gotta get up. We gotta leave Japan." And the next very day, Japan and Fukushima, you know, happened. And I told my story on Coast to Coast with George Noring. I don't know if he remembers that.
I do. I do.
Yeah, that's what happened. And I'm also I'm a social justice activist as well. And I do a lot for my community, and I give so much energy out there to the world because everybody wants my energy. And right now, I'm fighting for social justice right now for everyone. I'm doing a lot of positive things in my life, and I just want to know how to they take a lot of my energy, and I want to know how to get all my energy back.
Well, I think you sound like a wonderful person, and I think you would benefit greatly from the tones and learning how to do the tones and breathe and activate your DNA and harmonize your energy field. I mean, I know the days that I forget to do the tones until the middle of the night. You know, I'm really tired and I do them, and I just feel so great after that I've done them. I'm like, wow, I should do this four or five times a day.
It like charges up your batteries.
It charges up your batteries. And, you know, it also just when you look at all the social injustice that's going on out there and all the current police brutality and which is happening almost every other day. There are so many cases. I mean, I really believe a lot of it is because people are highly stressed out financially. They're also, parents are not spending enough time with their children. They can't because they have to work so much to pay these huge bills that we just invented. And then you have all these, there's actually 190,000 cell phone microwave towers in and around the United States. So that's 3,500 per state. So you figure, you know, how many cities are there even in a huge state like Texas or California? And these things are surrounding you everywhere. And it's a known fact that microwaves heat cells. There was studies done at the Electric Power Research Institute that, you know, that actually prove that. So you heat cells, I think it's going to cause, you know, tempers and things to get very, very unstable. So part of the thing we need to learn how to do is use electricity harmonically, and it can be done. I mean, I had an electrician come over to my house, and he saw my coils and my harmonic field transmitters, and he understood all of it. He said, "I know we run electricity in the walls in people's houses at the wrong frequency. We can just adjust it a little bit, and everyone would feel so much better."
Yeah, they sure would.
So
David,
it's a combination of learning that electricity is a musical instrument. All these wires that surround our house are a potential harmonic musical instrument. And then it's learning how to use your voice and just like you do in church and you sing, but now you're going to be slightly adjusted to this new scale, and that's what people are doing. And you can, you know, either write me or just go to the website, which is linked up at the Coast to Coast site right now, and find out about it.
Is it harmful to listen to it too much?
Well, see, when you listen to tones, you got to be careful of the volume. Like, as long as you listen to it at a nice volume that's not going to, you know, harm your ears. I mean, I've been doing it for 2 months every day, and no damage can be done if you use, you know, proper volumes.
No, not at all. David, what's your website for people?
My website is davidsereda.net, and you can also write me just davidsereda@hotmail.com to get, you know, the tone information. But it's all there on the website.
Okay, next up we go to Tony in Los Angeles, west of the Rockies. Tony, go ahead.
Oh, yes. I was just calling you about the scale. You weren't going to say that on the radio?
Well, yeah, I was giving the main numbers from the bass up in the center. It's actually the fifth octave in the scale. There's a total of 12 octaves in each of the three scales, so there's 360 tones. But the main tones start with 111.1, 212.1, 313.1, all the way to 919.1 and 101. So these numbers exist in the Great Pyramid as frequencies. They exist in ancient Greece. We have clear evidence of them as the kithara, which became the guitar, and the sitar. The meaning of the in the Greek numerology is 5-1. So 5-1, 5.1 is the middle of the scale.
Does this planet make these tones?
The planet, see, that's a good question. Where in nature are they? Here's what happens. When you generate a frequency that doesn't exist in nature, it causes discordance and rubs kind of the wrong way against living things. So it basically distorts. So when you stack A, B, C, D, F, G on top of each other and you put them in a tone generator, they start shimmering and wobbling, which means they're out of phase. The ratios between them are not correct. Nature just knows because they don't sound good. And then the same thing with solfeggio, but solfeggio sound really good. The first four sound perfect. There's no distortion.
You know, remember, as you were talking about Close Encounters of the... Well, I'll get that when we come back. Well, on our next Coast to Coast program, we'll talk a little bit about Project Serpo, that teleportation program. Did it really work? We'll be back in a moment with David Cereda. We'll take final phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, David Cereda with us. Your final phone calls as well. David, night goes by quickly, doesn't it?
It does.
My gosh.
20 minutes left.
What's the future hold for David Cereda? What's next?
Well, you know, for me, where all this frequency research is going is the next place I'm going is seeing teleportation and physical objects disappearing with vortex harmonic fields. And I've already seen some of that happening in my lab, but I really want to nail it down and verify it. So what I'm doing now is I have my course. I sell my harmonic field transmitters on the site to help people reharmonize the energy field pollution from Wi-Fi and all those sort of things. I mean, if you live in a tower in New York and you're looking, you know, you go on your laptop and you're looking for your Wi-Fi signal from the, you know, your account, and you're looking at 100 or more other people's accounts, that means your brain is sitting on top of all those signals. And there's no doubt that your DNA is reading those frequencies and getting messed up by them. And I think it's only a matter of time before there's so much cancer and there's so much mental trauma. I mean, I meet people all the time, George, who tell me they're so sensitive to microwave towers and transmissions. Some of these individuals leave their house and they go live in a cabin in the woods just to get away from it. And I meet them in the health food store, and I'm like, what do you mean? You leave your house. Like, they get older and they're nervous. They don't take enough of the right supplements that you need to keep your nerves strong. But we're bombarding people. I mean, 2,500 satellites transmitting 24/7 around the planet. You know, over 200,000 microwave towers in the United States transmitting from every angle. There's nowhere to get peace anymore. I mean, we live out in the middle of nowhere, and there's still some activity here. But what I found is meditating with these harmonic field generators, I can tune myself to a distant star system. You know, we are beings of a sun that generates specific frequencies. Our nine planets are like a music scale. I'm actually decoding the music scale of the nine planets. And it's really, really beautiful how each planet sounds so far. It's really amazing based on the dimensions of the planet.
What planet sounds the most melodious?
Well, you know, they're all pretty darn beautiful. I really like Jupiter and Saturn. And when you, I take the circumference of the planet at the equator, and then I use nature's octave, and I scale it all the way up to the poles on the planets. And actually, on my website, I have this. I have the scaled versions of the nine planets, but I have not worked out each planet's entire music scale. And I found that the wavelength at the equator of all nine planets matches the five brainwave states. I mean, every brainwave state we have, from deep delta, you have Uranus, Neptune, Jupiter, and Saturn are all delta brainwave planets. And Mars is alpha, which you need for concentration. Venus and Earth are theta, which is where we dream. And Mercury is just under 20 hertz, which is where you start hearing. And Mercury is when it goes retrograde, you're losing this 20 hertz, which really causes the brain to focus really well. So when you lose your 20 hertz transmitter because it goes retrograde behind the sun, people get a little bit whacked out because they don't have that frequency of Mercury. All of our nine planets are producing music, what Pythagoras called music of the spheres, being received by the musica humana. Pythagoras called the body as a musical instrument. And it's really scientifically provable and true that the frequencies of the nine planets are probably manufacturing the five brainwave states that we're constantly producing. So we are resonating to the music scale of our own solar system. So what happens if I tune you to a distant star? The beings from another world or another star system will have a different vibration about them. You'll see them and you'll just notice it. You won't hear it, but you'll actually go, wow, they're a totally different vibe than us. And of course they'll produce different music than us. And of course they'll have a different music scale than us. And that would be really fun to experience. And I think that's what Spielberg was saying in Close Encounters of the Third Kind, that we would exchange tonalities, and that would be our common dialogue.
And that tone that was in Close Encounters, you know, that bum, 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 bum.
Right.
I did that pretty well, by the way.
But isn't it amazing how no matter, you can write a million different songs, and they're all different arrangements of the same bass 7, 12-tone music scale we have. Every song. So what happens if you have a new scale? Oh, my God, you can have another million songs, and you're going to enjoy all of them. So music is the cosmos. I mean, that's what the ancients believed. And I believe that's what the ancient Christians practiced as well. We have evidence of that in the Gospel of the Egyptians. So music is your key and your passport.
All right, let's go to the final calls here for you, David. Let's go to Long Beach, California. Joel, you're up with us. Joel, go ahead.
Good morning.
Morning.
I agree with pretty much everything you're saying, David, but there's a couple of things that I think you've omitted. You would agree that we have like specific tunings. Like a note, for example, is not just a sound. A note is comprised of harmonic overtones, undertones, which for lack of a better way, they kind of warble around and they average out to what we hear. So we have like specific tuning, but we also have relative tuning, which means that you can have something off pitch, but tuned to its own off-pitch resonance, which then it becomes a perfect pitch to itself, which is what most people operate with. Being so...
No, I understand that music theory very well, and a perfect fifth, a major third, and it's all ratio based movements. And
That's what I'm going for. You see, if you're in a pyramid chamber and you're doing Gregorian chants, the whole purpose of those sounds was to find the very elements that you're speaking of the to unlock those chakras, those energy centers in the body to accept a higher knowledge, a higher vibration. This is not anything that's new. This has been going on for thousands of years. And I myself and a lot of people in my area, you know, work with this. So I'm trying to find what, when you speak in terms of perfect scale, why you don't share it.
I just shared it tonight, and it's all, I have all the numbers available on my website, all 360 tones. And my frequencies are not generated from the math inside of the chambers. They're generated from the math in the dimensions of the pyramid as a crystal oscillator. So they're all on the skin on the outside when the original limestone blocks were there. The dimensions of the oscillations in the wavelength. So that's where the scale comes from. But I'm not sharing the math and how I did it. I'm only sharing the math so people can have access to the numbers so they can generate the tones themselves.
How did the ancients do it, David?
Well, we already have evidence that the Egyptians built their own harps. They had harps, just like the Greeks did, you know, the kithara. But how far back does it really go? And I think it goes back before the last, you know, the Great Flood or the, you know, the last Ice Age. I think there's evidence that these scales that were eventually discovered in nature are so precise and reveal, like, for example, if you take the speed of light divided by the capstone base of the Great Pyramid, all that math is in the ebook on my website, The Lost Scale. You can get the whole Law Scale ebook on my website. And you can see that the builder knew the speed of light, but we didn't know the speed of light until 1972 to the degree we know it today. But we say cavemen, stone builders, made this pyramid. Well, that's impossible, because for the builder to know that the wavelength of the capstone base would produce 5.151 megahertz square and the slope angle of the pyramid's 51 degrees and 51 minutes, well, that's impossible. The math they knew was phenomenal. And now this letter I get in the dream from God says to take the dimensions of the Ark of the Covenant times 4, and I do that, and the first number I get is the circumference of the earth. Right in Africa, this 24,726 miles is the first number in Noah's Ark times 4. That's the circumference of the earth in Ethiopia and parts of Africa. So that means the builder knew this. I mean, we know that the first person to try to calculate the circumference of the earth, according to the Greeks, was a student of Archimedes. And Archimedes is the father of modern physics. Eratosthenes was the first one to try to do it, but they couldn't really get it perfect until you had space technology. And NASA bounced radio waves off the planet, and doing radio telemetry, they got the perfect circumference of the earth. Well, that would mean whoever knew these hidden numbers in Noah's Ark knew the circumference of the earth, which means they were in outer space, because that's what the math proves.
Okay, and let's go to Bernadine now in Toledo East.
You know, that's phenomenal.
Hello, Bernadine. Hi. Thanks for holding so long.
That's fine. I have a question. Well, my original question was answered, actually. David, question for you real quick. I'll make this brief, and then I'll listen off air. I watched a program not long ago. It was a rerun. Morgan Freeman did the commentating on it about parallel dimensions and black holes and being sucked into black holes and probable parallel dimensions with, like, us in these parallel dimensions. How do you feel about that?
Well, I'm very friendly with that idea of parallel dimensions. I mean, the air that sits above the water is like a parallel dimension to the ocean. The fish that live under the ocean don't know what's going on up here, and they probably all tell each other, you know, this is the only universe, you know, this underwater world. But as soon as you get out of the water, there's this new dimension. Now, space is the same way. We think space is a final dimension, but it isn't. There are higher dimensions than space, and it's very clear to me that UFOs don't move through space, because the only UFO I ever saw in broad daylight in 1968 in Berkeley, California, it popped in just like you were a fish underwater and you saw a pebble drop under the water, drop from above the water into the water. You would go, oh, my God, this pebble just suddenly appeared. There's ripples on the surface of the water. Where did it come from? Well, that's what the UFO looked like as it disappeared right in front of, you know, all of our eyes that day in Berkeley. So they get out of space, and they move through these other dimensions, and they do it using harmonics and frequencies.
We go next to Tyrell in Danielsville, Georgia, first-time caller. Hi, Tyrell. Go ahead.
Well, thank you so much for taking my call, and I wish you two gentlemen the very best to you and your families for 2015.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
My question is, well, you answered a few, like the other lady said earlier, but I am really interested in cleaning up the distortion in this world, which we'll never do. But I'm wondering, has anyone ever taken any of the crop circles, which we know are not human-made, and converted them to cubic measurements and also computerized this so they could get a better understanding and overall synopsis of what may be going on over there, as well as looking at some of these beautiful tones on an oscilloscope, because I played around with an oscilloscope one time and saw some of the most beautiful waves of music, mainly classical, form the most incredible waveforms on the screen. And I imagine these tones would just be incredible, and perhaps some might even relate to some of these awesomely beautiful crop circles. Anyway, just a thought. I'll take my answer whenever and wherever.
Well, that's one heck of a thought. I mean, I had an experience where I pulsed my body with one of my transmitters, and I pulsed it with the phi frequency, the pi frequency, and the 5151. If you take pi, 3.14, times 0.5151, you get the golden ratio, you know, 1.618. So I pulsed myself with those frequencies, and that night I went out of body, and I had to overcome my attachment to Earth and go out into space, and these blinding, pulsing light beings were pulsing all these sacred geometries, like fractals and beautiful geometries coming out of them, and they were so powerful, it was actually scaring me a bit. And I went, oh my God, these beings are like, they're not like, they don't have human bodies, but they're pulsing all these fractals and geometries and shapes, and they told me that they create and maintain all the structures and the shapes in the physical galaxy, from seashells to atoms to spiraling galaxies to planets, and they are the geometry creators, and they're some of the ones making the crop circles. Well, when you look at crop circles, they're the imprint of an oscilloscope-type waveform, and all you got to do is take the circumference of all the main circle and all the satellite circles, and you take the speed of light divided by those wavelengths, and you got the frequencies. And then you can generate those frequencies as a harmonic set and listen to them. And this really needs to be done in the crop circle movement. I've mentioned this in many of my lectures, and I've had very good people like Professor Paul DeVerville tell me that I need to be getting given a grant to go out and do this and take really accurate, the measurements have to be incredibly accurate in the circles. And first you have to identify that you have real crop circles, and then you'll get the tones. But what's amazing is that some people like Colin Andrews, they've already revealed that there are recordings of sounds and tones that have been audible during the formation of circles. So we know what the caller is saying is true, is that these circles actually translate back into sounds and tones and frequencies. And so what would the benefit of those frequencies be? we can study how water responds to frequencies. We took the NASA recording of the sound of the sun and beamed it at water, and it was instantaneously frozen, you know, the Masaru-Emoto effect. And when you look at the crystal of the NASA sound of the sun, it's the most beautiful thing you've ever seen. Now, disharmonic frequencies produce disharmonic structures. So that answers George's earlier question, how do you know when a frequency is harmful and one isn't? Well, you know by looking at how water responds to it, because water is...
That's the barometer?
That's the barometer, because we're made mostly of water. You know, we're 80 to 90% water, depending on how hydrated you are. So that, how the water responds to the vibration, is a pretty darn good test.
David, my friend, thank you so much. Once again, would you get your website out for us?
My website is davidsereda.net, S-E-R-E-D-A, and my email, davidsereda@hotmail.com. If you want to get brochures on my course, it's all there on my website. My harmonic field transmitters are there. I have new lower-priced ones for people who really want to correct the deficiencies in the energy fields of their house or workplace.
Super. David, thank you so much. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesour, Stephanie Smith, Chris Borles, George Knapp, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.